at a time. More like the humbug. I feel ya. I certainly feel the pain of the postal worker. 28,000 will lose their jobs. Big announcement on Monday. What a way to start a week. It's terrible when things like that happen in December. People were already shaky about this anyway. Think about it. If you have been in a job like delivering mail for however many years or working at a facility, you feel lucky to be hanging onto that job when you keep hearing all the doom and gloom headlines. Now it's going to become a reality. 28,000 postal workers will lose their jobs, and that's not all. I guess some of them will be connected to the processing facilities they have. They've got about 250 of those. Plus, for you and I, you want to mail something with a 44-cent stamp and you think it's going to get there in 1 to 2 days, you know, like the check is in the mail. Well, now it's going to be 2 to 5 days. How many people who desperately need something to get somewhere rely on that? Oh, it'll just be a couple of days. Are going to turn in a different direction. I think this is going to be the thing that pretty much sinks at least first-class mail, because most of the people who want that first-class mail to go out, they want it to get there within a handful of days. In fact, I don't think I'm going out on a great big limb to say every time I'm behind somebody in the post office, they're always asking how long until it gets there. I don't know that I've ever been behind anyone that just simply puts their mail out there and says, okay, thank you very much. They ask how long, how much for this, how much for that. And usually it's because, let's face it, all of us procrastinate. We're too darn busy. You got to mail something, you go to mail it. And you want to know, how long is it going to take to get there? And the answer is, you'll be lucky if it gets there. I hate to say that. So the Postal Service decided we better do something on our own if we wait for the House and the Senate. They're working on different bills to try to save the Postal Service, but they know how that goes. And these impending cuts to service and jobs certainly hasn't gone over very well on the Hill, but the problem is they have to do something now, because if they don't act, it'll be dead. It'll be gone. So first class mail, 44 cents, you're looking at 5 days. And that could start by April. They're hoping that it kicks in by April. Wow. And a lot of this has to do with the unions, the contracts, the not being able to pay into the retirement benefits. So they're saying they're going to survive. They're going to change equipment procedures. Instead of the mail processing equipment, like you've seen those centers where the mail shoots out really fast, instead of 6.5 hours a day, which is the average, maybe 20 hours a day. That's how they could save the mail being processed, because they're going to cut at least 250 mail processing plants. That's where you get also some of those jobs that'll be whittled away. Too bad. Sad news for a lot of people that were on pins and needles already. All right, speaking of being on pins and needles, were you counting on $800 to $1,000 more in your check thanks to the payroll tax cut? Well, Jay Carney, the White House spokesperson, decided to back up everything that the president is saying. Of course, he's the mouthpiece. He talked about the economy and how that relates, because the economy is so tough and people are going to still need those breaks, how the Republicans are jamming the whole thing up, and the big grudge that's going on.
Republicans seem so grudging in their support, to the extent there is any support, in giving tax cuts to regular Americans, to working class Americans, to middle class Americans, to 160 million Americans. This is about whether or not 160 million Americans, working class, middle class Americans, are going to have their taxes go up on January 1st because Congress refuses to act, or rather, in this case, the Senate and House Republicans refuse to act. Independent economists have made clear that not extending the payroll tax cut would have a negative impact on economic growth, would have a negative impact on job creation, and that extending and expanding it would have a positive impact.
Great. Negative impact. That's all we keep hearing out of D.C., no matter what it is, when it concerns money. And, of course, they're pushing this so much that the president jumped in the middle of the daily briefing to sing that same tune that you just heard from Jay Carney. It's the Republicans, the Republicans, the Republicans who are gunking this whole thing up. And the problem comes back to who's going to pay for it. Are we taking it out of Social Security? Do we steal it from there, or I'm sorry, borrow it from Social Security, use it, and then put it back? But the problem is we never put it back. You know, it's like when you move something you don't want somebody to know. Well, you have to put it back. It always astonishes me, and I know this is a weak analogy, but it always astonishes me when you work in whatever office and you put something in the refrigerator and then somebody eats it. It's gone, and nobody knows what happened to it. It's gone. And because the person didn't replenish it, like, oh, I'm starving, I'm working late, and nobody's here. I got to eat those cupcakes. But they don't bring them back the next day. They don't go out and buy them and put them back. That's the problem. We never put back what we steal and move from other programs. And this is the thing with the payroll tax cut. Will they do it? I think in the end there's going to be some kind of a compromise or something that will happen. But trust me, it's going to be in the ninth hour, the very last moment that it could possibly happen is when it will happen, if it happens at all. All right, speaking of controversy and will things happen, this is crazy, this story that I heard out of California that I feel compelled to throw out right at the top. What do you think a guy who slaughters 25 farm workers should get? He's actually up for parole. This is in California. He was known as, at one point, the worst serial killer in the nation. 4 decades after mutilated bodies of 25 people were unearthed in orchards just north of the Sacramento area, 77-year-old Juan Corona has been diagnosed with dementia and mental illness. So he's making his 7th bid for parole from the prison facility in the southern Central Valley, kind of up in that area. None of the victim's relatives were expected to attend the hearing. And what the district attorney is saying is a sad testament to his crime, because the people didn't have very many relatives. His attorney isn't talking before the hearing, but feels as though he should have a chance to get out, should have a chance to be eligible for parole because of the fact of what's going on with his illness. And I think I must be misreading that when I saw that this morning. Because he is mentally ill and has dementia and he hacked people's heads open and buried them, he should be able to now, oh, how sad, get out of prison? You have to be kidding. It was the worst known killing spree in our history until John Wayne Gacy, that nut, was convicted in 1980. And remember, he murdered 33 young guys and boys in his house. Ugh, crazy. All right, coming up on the flip side, the world of politics is always crazy. We have more of it. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Las Vegas.
Now, also available in digital format at Amazon and iTunes worldwide.
Don't come calling when your walls start calling.
Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com
and iTunes.
In May and June, everybody was bailing from his campaign. I say everybody, meaning the people that were working with him, campaign folks. And the headlines were all filled with Tiffany's and the account he had and the wives that he had left and all that sort of stuff. Now he's leaving everyone else in the dust as he sits on top of almost any poll. Throw out whatever news organization you want to in front of it, whether it's Washington Post, ABC, or CNN poll, or whatever poll, and he's on top. He's right there in front of Mitt Romney now. How about that? So things can change, and he said it. He said that he was in the race, that you don't count him out. Wait till you get a little bit closer. He's the horse that's coming down the stretch, and right now he is that guy. Will he stick? I mean, you know, you look at Mitt Romney and Herman Cain. If this is the Republicans, two that might be left of the two, and you might like Ron Paul, but he's not their choice. So if you have those two to choose from, who are you picking out of those two? And I'm going to say, knowing this audience, a lot of you would call up and say Newt Gingrich, because he knows his stuff, at least. I mean, he's a historian. And he's got the political background, whether he carries a little bit of baggage with him or not. He knows how to navigate Washington. Of course, the question becomes, is he definitely made some enemies in Washington? But it doesn't seem that the gridlock is anywhere close to being somehow solved. It's like a perpetual gridlock. Like you're in L.A. in rush hour traffic every day of your life. If you're working on the Hill. And of course you have to be good at the blame game, because you got to be able to blame the guy or the woman next to you. It's their fault. It's they're doing it. And it's old. This is wearing on all of us. the base, the taxpayers. We're sick of this. Aren't we sick of this? Anyway, Newt Gingrich has thrown out some pretty interesting things. One, he's getting crucified for talking about kids and saying that, in a nutshell, children who don't have means or with families who don't have means, that maybe the thing to do instead of all this reliance on welfare would be to teach them something to get them back to work and not have them fall in that at-risk category, to figure out a way to get out of that. And it would be to get them working at the young age. So throw out the child labor laws. Here's Newt in his own words.
What if you took kids in danger of dropping out and instead you said, if you'll stay in school, we'll give you a 3-hour or 4-hour a day job. And we'll allow you to work after school and you'll have cash and you'll be able to go do things. This is called America. It's how people rise in America. They learn to work.
Yeah, the problem is with that, it's kind of like work study when you go to college and you have a work study job and you do that and it's a couple of hours a day or whatever, but you're in college doing it. Think of the bullying and the situations in these areas where we would be talking about working, having kids work, and I think, if anything, they'd be bullied beyond belief and ripped to smithereens. Certainly if they were doing some kind of janitorial job or working in a cafeteria, but maybe there's other jobs. And I can't imagine that that would work. I understand his philosophy behind it, but I can't imagine that it would work. Maybe some of you worked when you were young. The first job that I had, I've talked about it on the show, I was 16. I started working when I was 16. I always had some kind of a job, whether it was in a doctor's office, filing records. I actually did that for a while, teaching tennis. And then, of course, my famous story of working in Dunkin' Donuts and all of the cream falling on the floor. I didn't knock it over. Somebody else did. And they wanted to scoop it up and then on the floor and put it back into the donuts. Needless to say, I didn't really stick around at that job after I saw that that was going on. Of course, this was just one place. It's not the whole chain. It was just one owner of a Dunkin' Donuts store in New Jersey. But the point is that I worked as soon as I could work. But lowering that age and in some of these at-risk areas, I think I'd be pretty tough on the kids. But that's just one thing that Newt's talking about. He's talking about a lot of other things as well. Some of it's actually makes sense. And Gingrich, one thing about him is he does know his stuff. He doesn't pull any punches. But the problem is, I think, with Gingrich, I go back to the, again, the enemies that he made in the Republican Party, not just in the Democratic Party. Will that come back to bite him as he tries to make himself electable or not? With all the things that he said, Ron Paul actually is one of the better candidates. I like a lot of Ron Paul's suggestions. I like a lot of what he stands for, especially with the smaller government stance and the cut the nonsense. If we're bleeding here at home, how can we possibly have all these bases, all this money that we're handing out, especially to areas where they're completely standing on their own 2 feet? It's not strategic anymore. And he makes some good points. But Ron Paul, just what he says will not cut across Republican lines. So how does he get the Republicans to back him? The answer is really he has to, I think he goes to the third party. I think it just libertarian boom, he runs on that and takes his chances to see what happens. But as of now, he's saying he will not do that, that he's not willing to do that. So I think that that would be the ticket. That would be the way to go. And hey, does he end up on a ticket with somebody? Somebody suggested to me in Washington, and boy, I don't know that this would wash. But if Newt Gingrich was the guy, what if you had Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul? I don't think so. I don't see Ron Paul doing that. Although Ron Paul has an interesting ad that's running in Iowa and New Hampshire, because he knows, this is the thing, he's confident about it, win or lose, whatever, he's going for it. I mean, this is it for Ron Paul. This is the third time that he's run, so he has no fear in calling out whatever he wants to call up or call out. And in one of the ads that he's got out there, there's a 30-second spot that says, "What's up with these sorry politicians?" He's got a dog, and it's barking. It says, "Lots of bark, but when it's showtime, whimpering like little shih tzus." So you want big cuts? Ron Paul's been screaming for it for years. Budget crisis, no problem. Cut $1 trillion year one. It's actually kind of a clever ad. We're going to do a thing on ads coming up next week, and this is one of them that would make my list. Again, he doesn't care. He's willing to go for the jugular because this is his big run, and bravo to him for just being able to stand on what he thinks, whether it's popular or not. Because here's what happens. Somebody starts to run, and then they change their stance. Remember John McCain. John McCain was a maverick, was a renegade, boom, 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 here's what I think. Then John McCain was manipulated into embracing other things that he didn't think, that he didn't care for before, because he wanted the party backing. And that's what happens. You get campaign handlers and they try to massage it and say, well, you have to do this and you have to flip-flop on this. They don't call it flip-flopping. You have to move more to the center. You have to do this. And Ron Paul won't be manipulated that way. I guarantee you, Ron Paul will not let himself be moved in a different direction. So maybe he'll strike a chord in New Hampshire in that primary, in that first primary. Maybe he'll surprise a lot of people. And when we run these campaign ads, how much sway do you think the ads have versus even the endorsements? When somebody big politically comes out and endorses somebody else, does that make you think twice about who you're voting for? I don't think so. They put a lot of stock in it, but I don't know that I think it matters quite that much, the endorsement. Unless you're talking about maybe a very popular previous president, somebody pretty high up in the party who is also popular, has a lot of favors, that kind of thing, then it makes sense. But just the eeny, meeny, miny, moe or the musical chairs of who did what in the past and has a little bit of appeal, I don't think that that endorsement matters that much. Stay with us.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The Maine name in military supply.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you can be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades: salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
When they kick out your front door, how you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law breaks in, how you gonna go? Shut down on the pavement or waiting on death row? You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you'll have to answer too.
Oh, we've talked about this for a long time here on America Tonight. What if marijuana were legalized? We've talked to many law enforcement officers. I've ridden along with the Border Patrol agents. I've talked about that before. And it's interesting because the Border Patrol agents that I was with for the entire week, we were talking about Juarez and El Paso. And just recently, there was a big story. You might have seen it. It was in the New York Times. And it was about a Border Patrol agent who was stationed in Deming, New Mexico. His name is Brian Gonzalez, just a young guy. And he was doing his job, and he was chatting up another agent about the frustrations of the war along the border, I guess, actually, and talking about marijuana, specifically if marijuana were legalized. And this agent said that he made the comment the drug violence, a lot of the drug-related violence across the border in Mexico would probably cease if marijuana were legalized. You know, this whole war on drugs and how much has been spent and what people don't know about it is just more than I can take after 10 years of speaking about this. And I have found a great organization, because now Gonzalez, this agent, brought this group up. It's called the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. They favor ending the war on drugs. And we are so pleased to welcome to the show retired Maryland State Police Major and Narcotics Enforcement and Executive Director of that group called LEAP. You know, that's what it's called, the acronym for it, Neil Franklin. Neil, thanks so much for popping on ATN.
Kate, well, thanks for having me on tonight.
You have 33 years in the business of law enforcement before you jumped on the LEAP stuff and retired. And in those decades, what did you see? Because you were right there in the so-called drug wars. What were the kind of things that you saw?
Oh, wow. Right smack in the middle of it. Everything from the violence associated with this illicit drug trade to the corruption, you know, among our ranks, the misconduct among our ranks, the dissension between law enforcement and communities, because we're now to the point where we're searching just about everyone, and many of those searches are inappropriate. But what really made me stand for a moment, step back and take notice was when I had a very close friend and comrade of mine who was assassinated in Washington, D.C. while working on a drug task force with the FBI back in 2000. His name was Ed Totley. He was an undercover trooper.
And so Ed, he was just in the middle of it, and obviously you had gotten the details of that, and were you shocked when that happened?
Well, I was devastated. This guy I had known for 15 years, ever since he came on the job, and he had worked undercover most of his career. And that night when I got the phone call from a close friend, you know, he and I had talked about this case he was working, and I knew exactly what it was when I got the phone call. And then the drive down to the hospital, it was just one horrific night. And, you know, he had three kids, he had a wife, and then I realized that, you know, Ed wasn't the only one. We were losing cops left and right in this silly so-called war on drugs, and civilians, the casualties in our neighborhoods and communities is just unprecedented.
Yeah. And after Corporal Totley's death and having that all come back to you and realizing what was going on, like you said, all the cops that you had seen die in the middle of this and certainly civilians as well, what did you decide that you needed to do?
Well, when this happened, I had just retired from the Maryland State Police, and I was the commander of Baltimore City Police Department's Training Bureau. And I went right to my commissioner, and I told my commissioner, I said, look, I've got to start speaking out on this issue. I've thought about it for a long time, and it's time for a change. I said, I won't do it on police time, on the agency time. I won't do it on their dime. I said, but when I'm off, I'm going to do everything I can to get these policies changed. And he, unfortunately for me, he had no problem with that because I was in an appointed position. He could have terminated me just like that for no reason whatsoever. But he also understood the issue.
Yeah. And so we know the war on drugs is not working the way we're fighting it. And all the money, the lives really matter the most, but the money also that's been thrown at this. From what you've seen, what do you think needs to be done? What's the best plan of attack?
Well, and this is my personal plan because LEAP doesn't have an official plan because there's so many different directions you can go to resolve this. But personally, I think that if we would just form the proper forum for an intelligent discussion involving the facts of this nonsense, of this war, if we were to bring the right people to the table, I think the administration in Washington, D.C. should spearhead this because many states are reluctant to move until the feds do. The Department of Justice needs to convene, you know, folks from education, folks from health, law enforcement, economics, and the list is long, to get these experts to the table to begin to figure out the course, you know, our strategies, our next direction, how we should go, where we should go. We know we're in a dangerous place and we have to move. So we need to start formulating a plan, an exit strategy per se. I mean, that's what we did, you know, for the war in the Middle East. We need one here. We need an exit strategy from the war on drugs. And it needs to happen now. And that's how we need to do it. I mean, it's going to be different for every community. You know, what the policies, the new policies would look like would be different for every community, just like with our alcohol policies. From state to state, they're different. And even some of the counties within those states have different policies. And that's what we need to do.
Yeah. Of all the drugs that that you've seen destroy lives and all the things that has happened lately, I've talked to a lot of guys on the front lines, I'll call it, Neil, that say meth is just some of the worst things that they have ever seen that's happened as a result of meth. Did you find that same experience?
Yeah, but see, here's what we don't realize. First of all, the more dangerous the drug, the more problematic the drug, the more urgency there is to have it regulated and controlled and get it away from these criminals to manufacture and distribute. You see, because meth is just a stimulant. Meth came about because cocaine was illegal. It was first referred to as the poor man's cocaine. You know, the problem with meth, the real problem with meth is how it's made and what it's used, I mean, what we use to make it with. That becomes very problematic because, you know, the effects of it are not much different than those amphetamines and that we give to our fighter pilots. They call them go pills. But they're made in a safer environment with safer ingredients. That's why they don't tear down the human body the way that meth does. So when you have something that's potentially dangerous, the worst thing we can do is put it in the hands of criminals to distribute, to manage within our neighborhood.
Yeah, because of what the results are afterwards and how widespread and how dangerous is what you're saying.
Absolutely. There's no quality control for these products. There's no standards for these products. And, you know, when we prohibit these products, what we create, we literally create a one-man drugstore on just about every corner.
Wow.
And that's the worst that we can have.
Yeah, absolutely. The story that I told at the beginning, which I know you're familiar with, the Border Patrol agent Gonzalez was fired after he expressed his opinion that he thought that the war on drugs was so out of control and that if marijuana were legalized, this wouldn't be a problem. And a lot of people are saying, you know, this is flat out a First Amendment issue, if nothing else. Do you think he should have been dismissed for that?
Absolutely not. You know, this is such a disturbing story. You know, I've spoken to Brian on many occasions, and here's a young man that was devoted to his job, expressing his opinion as to this entire mess. It doesn't mean that he couldn't do his job. It doesn't mean that he still couldn't enforce those laws, because there are many, many cops who do not believe in this drug war, but yet they still enforce the policies they have sworn to, you know, to uphold. You know, they've taken an oath that they're going to uphold these laws. And I liken it to the fact that, you know, I don't agree, and I didn't as a cop agree with the gun laws that we had in the state of Maryland. You know, I thought that any good citizen should be able to carry a firearm, okay, and should qualify to carry a firearm. However, that's not what our laws dictated in this state. And if I caught you, a good citizen, and you had a handgun tucked in your waistband or in a holster, you were going to jail, even though I thought that you should have that right to carry it.
Yeah.
It's the same here. You know, that guy, Brian, you know, he was doing his job. He was doing his job well. But just because he had an opinion, his First Amendment, you know, protected under the First Amendment, you know, I'm really baffled by this particular case. Really baffled by this particular case, because it's a clear-cut case of violating his First Amendment rights.
I so agree with you, Major Franklin. Absolutely. If people want to find out more about LEAP, how can they do that? You've got a website, right?
Absolutely. You can find us at leap.cc.
Neil, I enjoyed the conversation. I look forward to having you back on the show again.
Okay, thanks for having me.
In 2009, several international scientists concluded the WTC buildings were blown up by nanothermite. So what actually happened on 9/11? An experienced physicist with a PhD in applied physics at Caltech has published an online book about this disaster, National Swindle of the World Trade Center. This factual analysis includes 37 color photos in 7 chapters. Download it now for less than $13 at sealane.org. That's SEALANE.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Spend the 85 to maybe 100 at the max for getting your teeth clean. Perhaps you get that yearly x-ray. You know, when you go to the dentist, that's what I'm talking about, getting those teeth and making sure everything's clean because you're a little bit lame about using the floss and whatnot. Well, if you're one of those people who's on again, off again and with your teeth cleaning, especially with the flossing thing, right? It could really cost you in the end. And so many people, because of the downturn in the economy, have decided that they're not going to pay for the teeth cleaning. So this year is actually shaping up to be one of the worst, they say, since 2005. In the first 9 months of 2011, dentists reported an average of a 3% decline in revenue and profit. Folks, if you don't go to the dentist, trust me, only one time in my life, and I have good teeth, did I not go to the dentist for a short period of time. It was almost like an afterthought. And those deep cleanings, you don't want to get a deep cleaning, I promise you, no matter how gentle the dentist is. So what is up with that? Dr. Mohan Savafi joins us now. She is a dentist extraordinaire, and she can break it all down for us. Hey, Doc, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me, Faith.
So are you finding that? I mean, before we get into the whole thing about, because I know people have fears about dentists, then there's people who just don't want to say, oh, well, $85, I can save that $85. Have you found that there is a decline? Is that true?
Absolutely, yes. There has been a decline, you know. Well, visits with dentists has never been a favorite activity for anybody. But we've been, you know, we've been seeing these days with the news in the economy and with the unemployment, some people have lost their dental benefits and they are putting off going to the dentist. And we are also seeing a drop in dental visits of people who are employed and have dental insurance. But with all the news, you know, people are not investing in their dental health. And as a result, we see a lot more dental emergency visits that could have been prevented if the person could have kept up with their every 6 months preventive care appointment.
Yeah, so let me ask you that. So that's the thing. I said the 85 to maybe 100. Let's say it's 85, somewhere in that ballpark. So you decide, oh, I'm not going to do it. I can't afford it. Geez, the economy. I'm worried. I'll just wait. My teeth are good. What can it end up costing you ultimately if you have some kind of an emergency or, like I said, deep cleaning?
Yeah, you know, a deep cleaning can be potentially very, very expensive. It can be about $1,000, you know, and then you're going to need antibiotic therapy in some cases. But what's the most important thing is that cavity formation is a process. You know, there are some new technologies these days in the market that if the cavity is caught at an early stage, we can basically stop the progression of these non-cavitated cavities with the use of new products in the market. It's just like a fine crack in your car's windshield. When you catch it early enough, then you can apply a liquid to stop it, and so it will, you know, prevent you from replacing your whole windshield. Same thing with the cavity. If you don't stop it during the, you know, at the right time, then it can cost you potentially thousands of dollars. You know, you're looking into doing root canals, crowns, and, you know, all these other procedures that potentially can be stopped if you keep up with your every 6 month visit.
Yeah. Because you've been a dentist, so you see this. It has to be a little frustrating to you because you think of what money people pump into other things, like whether it's cars or something else. And I'm not saying you don't need cars or transportation, but will you see people will gladly spend money on other things but not do it on their teeth for some reason, and then ultimately it costs them the most. And you know this better than I've talked to several doctors about this, not even dentists, that so much can happen through the mouth where you can pick up diseases. Things can happen that can almost lead to your death at times.
Absolutely. You know, the basically periodontal disease or gum disease can basically affect your systemic overall health. And it can create, you know, vascular disease. It can cause heart disease because there's a specific bacteria that usually lives inside the pocket of teeth between the teeth and the gum tissue. And if you do not get that bacteria out, this bacteria can basically travel through your bloodstream, not only scarring and damaging the vessels and causing the thickening of the vessels, causing actually atherosclerosis, but it can also go into your heart, damaging the heart muscle. So it is extremely important for people to realize how important it is to do your cleaning, visit your dentist every 6 months, and floss. Of course, you know, you want to floss every night. So that's the key, basically, for prevention.
Right. But see, it's like I said, and this is really a true story. I'm sure I'm telling everyone this in America, but I do have really good I have really good teeth. Luckily, I was blessed with good teeth, but in a, you know, doing the flossing thing and everything, but I forget why it was. I had a job transfer. It wasn't so much about the cleaning. It's just that it sort of was an afterthought. Like I said, I don't know why, because I'd always been so good about that. And I had to do that deep cleaning. And let me tell you, when I was in the chair, it was fine. It just takes a long time, but boy, my mouth was throbbing afterwards, and all because if I had just kept up with the 6 months, 6 months, 6 months, I never would have had to have that.
Right, right.
Because you know, yeah. it's like you have to explain to people, and you just did there when you're talking about the cavities and the fact that you can, now there's amazing treatments for it where you can catch it almost like a windshield that has a crack. That was a great description. Well, the same thing when you get plaque. I mean, describe what plaque is. You got to get in there and scrape it, right? And it just grows.
Right, right. You have to scrape it, and, you know, the attachment from the gum tissue to the tooth is being lost, usually by the bacteria that basically hides inside those pockets. So you really need to scrape it off and treat those bacteria. We usually prescribe a medication. It's a mouth rinse medication. It's called fluorhexidine, which we put the patient on it for about 3 weeks to basically kill that bacteria so the gum can start hugging back the tooth and eliminate those pockets. If those pockets get bigger and bigger, you know, then even scraping is not enough. You have to place antibiotics inside the socket or inside those pockets to eliminate those pockets. So it can potentially become much more than $1,000.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The more neglect, like anything else. I mean, it is like a car in a sense, because if you never put oil in your car, you never took care of your car, you never rotated the tires, then eventually you probably would suffer monetary damage, but at least you wouldn't, you hope, it wouldn't be anything debilitating to your body, but that can happen with teeth. What made you decide to become a dentist, a profession where a lot of people just rear back and say, oh, I don't like dentists, I can't stand the drill, I can't go into the chair? You sound like such a personable person, which I'm not saying I have friends that are dentists, but what made you decide to go into this field?
Well, to begin with, actually, I was an artist. I could draw very well, and I had people in dental field, I mean, dental student friends, and I was into sciences, and I was thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And then finally, somebody said, what about dentistry? It is a combination of art and science. So basically, that's what caused me to look into dentistry.
Wow. And you never looked back? You don't regret it?
Not at all. I mean, this is the only thing that I would... You know, I can never imagine myself doing anything else. I love it, and it's just it's the right thing for me. So I cannot imagine myself doing anything else.
Who's easier to treat? Is it the young kids that you would see, or the older people, or in between? Who are the better patients? I'm wondering if it's kids.
I would say in between are the best. You know, children are a little bit... they're a little bit challenging to work on, and you want to make sure that they're possibly sedated and comfortable enough to work on kids. Of course, you know, majority of adults, they're great. So, but we also use, you know, IV sedation these days. There are so many different things for people who are apprehensive, which usually they had bad dental experiences at some point, usually in their childhood. We use different techniques to make them relax by using IV sedation or conscious sedation or laughing gas. We also use some audiovisual devices such as TV or iPod to get their minds off of the drill. So
that helps. Yeah,
that
helps. Here's my question, Doc. When are they going to do something about the X-rays where you have to bite down? That is so awkward when you're trying to bite down and they take the picture of your teeth.
Yeah, you know, the new technologies that there are out there, there are some sensors that are a little bit easier to use, and they are digital, so it potentially exposes the person to 90% less radiation. That's what we use in our office. So you want to make sure whoever you see, they are on top of the new technology and they know what the new products are out there.
Okay, here's the best question of all, because this is my thing with dentists. Do I get anything free, any free dentist swag if I go to your office? Do I get, like, a free toothbrush?
Absolutely, yes. You get a free goodie bag. We give out goodie bags to everybody. So.
I love that. Dr. Safavi, thanks so much for shedding some light on dentistry and why it is so important to just go get the cleaning. And listen, I'm the walking example of that. Doc, thanks. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kate.